The scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 6. John 6, beginning at verse 41. We read this in connection with the teaching of the Catechism in Lord's Day 29 in the back of the Psalter. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 41. Jesus is speaking to the crowds and to those who are challenging him. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God.' Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. On the basis of this passage of Scripture, on the basis of many passages of Scripture, we have the teaching of the Catechism as found in Lord's Day 29, found on page 17 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 29. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God, so the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood? Or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially, by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week, Sunday, we focused on the idea of the Lord's Supper as a table of fellowship. The Lord's Supper is a table that you go to enjoy a meal with Jesus. It is the table of the covenant. And a table in the Scriptures is a picture of fellowship and friendship. And so the Lord's Supper is a sacrament that emphasizes this relationship of friendship and fellowship we have with Jesus. While the sacrament of baptism emphasizes being brought into this relationship of friendship, the Lord's Supper emphasizes living in this relationship and enjoying this relationship of friendship with Jesus. Sitting at a table emphasizes that idea. Maybe if you remember from last week, we used this language. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus brings us into his banqueting house. And he brings us to his banqueting table. And as he causes us to sit with him at that table, he unfurls that banner over our heads that says, love. Just like Solomon did with the Shulamite woman. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus tells us he loves us. In the Lord's Supper, he tells us that our sins are forgiven. He died for our sins. In the Lord's Supper, he comforts us and he admonishes us and assures us of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. He wants us to enjoy his fellowship, so he brings us to his table. What we did mention last week, but what we now need to look at more carefully this Sunday, is the actual meal that Jesus serves at that table. You see, last week we looked at the idea of the table, but we didn't concentrate so much on the meal that is served at that table. And that's what we want to do more fully this morning in Lord's Day 29. Jesus doesn't just call us to fellowship with him at a table, but at that table he serves us a meal. And with that meal, he feeds and nourishes our souls to everlasting life. That is, in fact, the central focus of the Lord's Supper. Not the table itself so much, but the meal served at the table. The meal by which Jesus feeds and nourishes our souls to everlasting life. Here in Lord's Day 29, then, we want to answer the question, how? How does eating the bread and drinking the wine at the Lord's Supper actually serve for the strengthening of my spiritual life? In the Lord's Supper, how does Jesus actually feed and nourish my soul? What is this meal that Jesus is serving? And ultimately then the question is, how is the Lord's Supper a means of grace? How does this sacrament work? So we take as our theme this morning, the Lord's Supper as a means of grace. And we notice three things. First, the spiritual nourishment it provides. Second, the way the spiritual nourishment is provided. And then third, the spiritual disposition that is required. In order to understand how the Lord's Supper is a means of grace, we need to start with the basics and make sure we have this point clearly before us this morning. Jesus gives us the Lord's Supper in order to give us spiritual nourishment. Jesus does not give us the Lord's Supper in the church in order to fill up our physical bellies. He does not give us the bread and the wine to feed our physical bodies, His purpose with the Lord's Supper is to feed our souls. It is spiritual nourishment provided at the Lord's Supper. My soul is nourished, not my physical life, but my spiritual life. Now, what does that require but this? That the food I eat at the Lord's Supper be spiritual food, and the drink that I drink at the Lord's Supper be spiritual drink. One of the fundamental differences that separates Reformed Protestants from Roman Catholics and from the Lutherans is this. We maintain that our spiritual lives can only be nourished by spiritual food. Eating physical food in and of itself will not profit my spiritual life. Eating physical food in and of itself is only going to profit my physical body. If, you might say, that's the only way I'm eating this, is physically. If I partake of the Lord's Supper only by eating with my physical mouth, my spiritual life will not profit from it. Then the Lord's Supper won't be a means of grace, because grace is something spiritual. And so this is the point. If I'm spiritually going to profit from the Lord's Supper, I need to be partaking of a spiritual meal. I need to be spiritually eating if I'm going to enjoy spiritual nourishment in my soul. Let me elaborate on that for a moment by drawing a comparison between our physical lives and our spiritual lives. Just look at our physical lives for a moment and notice three things with me. First of all, in order for us as physical organisms to eat and drink physically, we need to be physically alive. There can be no physical nourishment unless there is a physical organism, a physical life, a physical creature with physical life. A dead person cannot eat physical food. And a dead person will not be benefited by physical food if you would give that dead person physical food, because that person is dead. In order to eat and drink physically, you need to be physically alive. Second of all, as physical creatures, what we need is physical food. A physical life cannot keep living without eating physical food. As physical organisms, we are dependent on the physical world for our physical sustenance. A physical life needs to be nourished by physical food, bread and water. Otherwise, we die. And third of all, in physical nourishment, the body actually needs to take in that food. And the body needs to digest that food and take that food into itself for it to be nourished. There must be an act of appropriation and an act of assimilation, where the body receives the food, takes that food to itself, and the food doesn't just sit in the stomach, but the food gets taken into the body so that the food and the energy of the food starts flowing through the blood vessels. And when all this happens, what do we call that? We call it physical nourishment. Now, just as that describes physical nourishment, so we can use that to help us understand what happens when it comes to our spiritual nourishment at the Lord's Supper. Because when it comes to the spiritual realities, the same things are needed. First of all, for us to enjoy spiritual nourishment at the Lord's Supper, we need to be spiritually alive. A spiritually dead person will not profit from the Lord's Supper because he cannot eat that spiritual food that is served at the Lord's Supper, exactly because he is dead. A person needs to be a regenerated child of God. He needs to be reborn and made spiritually alive once again if he is going to truly partake of the Lord's Supper. And such we are. We have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We have a spiritual life in us. And that spiritual life is an altogether peculiar life. It's not a life that comes to us from this physical world. It's not a life from here below. It is a spiritual, heavenly life because we have been born from above. That's where this life comes from. And that spiritual life we have is just as real as our physical life. That spiritual life consists of faith, hope, love, living in righteousness and holiness and obedience and faithfulness. It's a spiritual life marked by the fruits of the Spirit. It's a spiritual life marked out by living out of the new man, living out of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ himself is that life, that spiritual life. So the point is, if there's going to be spiritual nourishment at the Lord's Supper, what it requires is that we have spiritual life. A spiritually dead person will not profit from the Lord's Supper, cannot profit. Second of all, as those who have spiritual life, what we need is spiritual food. Or to use this language, we need spiritual flesh and spiritual drink. Just as our physical life is dependent upon the physical sphere in which it lives, so our spiritual life is dependent upon the sphere in which it lives and the sphere in which it was created. Just as a physical life must have physical drink, food that is in harmony with its physical life, so a spiritual life demands food and drink that is in harmony with its spiritual life. So a spiritual organism, a spiritual life, cannot profit from physical bread. It needs spiritual bread. And third of all, in spiritual nourishment, I need to take in that spiritual bread and drink, or that spiritual food and drink. It needs to be assimilated into my soul. I need to eat and drink spiritually in such a way that what I eat and drink becomes part of my spiritual organism, my spiritual life. I need to appropriate that spiritual food and drink to myself. After all, that's what my spiritual life is living off of, that spiritual food which it takes to itself. So we see a parallel here between our physical lives and our spiritual lives. Now, what is this food and drink that we take to ourselves, that we need to take to ourselves? What is the spiritual food that nourishes us? Well, that spiritual food is Jesus Christ himself. What does Jesus say in John chapter 6? I am the bread of life. Jesus says, you need to eat me. You need to eat my flesh. You need to drink my blood. You need to eat me. And he's talking here about something spiritual, not physical. He's talking about your spiritual life. Your spiritual life is a life that was created in Christ Jesus. Your spiritual life is a life lived out of Jesus Christ through that bond of faith. And therefore, for your spiritual life to grow and be fed, you need to eat and drink on Jesus Christ himself. Just as your physical life, your physical bodies cannot have life unless they're eating physical flesh and blood, so your spiritual life cannot live unless it's eating spiritual flesh and blood. Unless we're constantly drawing the life of Christ to ourselves and taking Christ himself and his life to ourselves. As I said, your spiritual life consists of living out of faith, living out of hope, of obedience and holiness and righteousness. Your spiritual life is a life lived out of the Holy Spirit, living out of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's living out of that new man in Jesus Christ. And in partaking of Christ, who is your spiritual food, you're partaking of all these things that are found in Jesus Christ. He is the food for your spiritual soul. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is spiritual wisdom. Jesus is the holiness of God. He is the love of God. And God has made Jesus Christ to be these things for you. He is your wisdom. He is your righteousness. He is your holiness. And the more you take Jesus to yourself, The more you take Jesus to yourself, the more you're taking his wisdom to yourself. The more you're taking his holiness to yourself. The more you're taking his obedience, his love to yourself. This is your spiritual food and drink as you live out of Jesus Christ. For me to grow in grace and to grow in knowledge, for me to grow in love and holiness and righteousness, for me to grow spiritually, I need to keep partaking of Jesus Christ, he who is my spiritual meat and drink. And as I do so, my spiritual life is fed. Every day, we need to be eating and drinking Jesus Christ. Every day, we need to be living out of this spiritual life. And at the Lord's Supper, what is this meal that Jesus serves? The meal he serves at the Lord's Supper is Jesus Christ himself. He is the spiritual food that gives nourishment for our spiritual lives. It is his broken body. It is his shed blood that is served at the Lord's Supper. And emphatically, this is something that needs to be understood spiritually. This is spiritual nourishment. Maybe to make clear how we are to understand this in a spiritual sense, I can put it this way. Which Jesus Christ do you need to partake of? Do you need to partake of Jesus Christ merely as the one who carried out an earthly ministry for 3.5 years? Do you need to partake of Jesus Christ merely as one who taught the people and spoke in parables? That's how the liberals would view it. Jesus is simply a good moral example for you to follow. That's the Jesus you need. And what they leave out entirely is Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. And that's not centrally the Jesus I need. The Jesus I need is the same as that Jesus, but the Jesus I centrally need, the Jesus I need to partake of, is the one who suffered the unspeakable agonies of hell on the cross. I need to partake of Jesus Christ and who he is as the one who had his body broken and his blood shed for a complete remission of all my sin. Because it's that Jesus who in his suffering and death on the cross purchased my spiritual life for me. And everything that belongs to that spiritual life, all the nourishment, all the benefits that belong to that spiritual life too. That's exactly why in the Lord's Supper, it's the broken body and it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you need to take to yourselves. That's what you need. What that broken body and shed blood obtain for you. We are not eating a physical broken body or physical shed blood, but what Jesus' broken body and shed blood obtain for us spiritually. That's what the Lord's Supper is talking about. The point then is also this. We don't need the physical body of Jesus Christ itself in the Lord's Supper. But we need the spiritual benefits, the spiritual blessings that Jesus has obtained through his broken body and shed blood. We need Jesus and the spiritual riches that he obtained for us through the cross. We need spiritual nourishment. Partaking of Jesus' physical arm in the Lord's Supper, munching on Jesus' physical skin and his muscles and his bones in the Lord's Supper won't profit you anything. No, you've been raised to a new spiritual life. Jesus Christ is that life. It's his own life that is flowing through us and that has made us alive. And for you to continue to live that spiritual life and live fully in that spiritual life, in that new man, you need to daily partake of the spiritual benefits which Jesus purchased on the cross for you. We need to take Jesus to ourselves and what his broken body and shed blood obtained for us. And the Lord's Supper is a means of grace then, exactly because it's through the Lord's Supper, as also through the preaching every Sunday, where Jesus provides us with that spiritual nourishment. Through the Lord's Supper, Jesus causes us to partake of his spiritual life, of his benefits, of his salvation. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus causes us to take him to ourselves. He imparts himself to us. We take his wisdom to ourselves. We take His holiness to ourselves. We take His love to ourselves in the Lord's Supper. We become more like Jesus. We take on more of His image. We grow in grace through the Lord's Supper. That's how the Lord's Supper is a means of grace, because in it we're feeding on Jesus and all His benefits. I grow in grace. I grow in wisdom. I grow in knowledge. I grow in love. I grow in faith. I grow in mercy, just as I'm taking Jesus to myself in the meal of the Lord's Supper. Just as I'm taking Jesus Christ to myself right now in the preaching. You are eating Jesus' mercy. You are eating Jesus' love. You are eating Jesus' holiness right now in the preaching. This is something that is emphatically spiritual. This is the spiritual nourishment that is provided. Now, all of this might seem basic, simple, but all of this is very fundamental for understanding the Lord's Supper, for understanding now also the way in which this spiritual nourishment is provided. So we move on and we look at the way in which this spiritual nourishment is given. How does Jesus impart Himself to us in the Lord's Supper? How does Jesus provide us with Himself spiritually so that we are spiritually nourished at the Lord's Supper? Well, this is such an important question because this is where so many go wrong. This is maybe where our thinking sometimes goes wrong. Many get distracted by that strong language that Jesus uses, for example, in John chapter 6, where He says, you need to eat My flesh and you need to drink My blood. We might think He's talking about something physical there. And so they think that Jesus needs to be physically present at the Lord's Supper in order for us to receive a benefit from it. There are those, and most prominently among them, there is the Roman Catholic Church, which teaches that this spiritual nourishment can be provided simply through eating the bread and drinking the wine at the Lord's Supper. As if merely eating the bread and wine is what gets you Christ. The Roman Catholic Church understands the Lord's Supper like this, that in the Lord's Supper, the bread and wine actually change into the physical body and blood of Christ. And then what the Roman Catholic Church teaches is this, therefore, when anyone takes that bread and wine physically, he is taking the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so he becomes a partaker of Jesus Christ physically. That's the emphasis of why Jesus needs to be physically present, so you can partake of Him physically. And then what happens is this. Because that person is now physically partaking of Jesus Christ, that person has grace. That person has the spiritual benefits of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper has power and it has profit to everyone, head for head, who's physically partaking of the Lord's Supper. And that's how the Lord's Supper is a means of grace in the Roman Catholic Church. According to the Roman Catholic view of things, you need to look at grace like this. Grace is kind of like a substance. Grace is like a physical substance. Grace, according to the Roman Catholic Church, can be put into physical things. Grace is in physical things. So that when the priest says those magical words in their view, "This is My body," then the bread and wine turn into the physical body and blood of Christ, and with that change, you suddenly have grace right there before your eyes in the Lord's Supper. And as you eat that bread and drink that wine with your mouth, you are eating and drinking grace. Regardless of your spiritual attitude, regardless if you're exercising faith, regardless even if you're spiritually alive or not, according to the Roman Catholic Church, anyone, even an animal, can receive the body of Christ. All that is required is that one eat and drink physically at the Lord's Supper in order to receive grace. According to the Roman Catholic Church, that's how the Lord's Supper is a means of grace. That's the way in which spiritual nourishment is provided. Well, as we've already demonstrated, if the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper is changed into the physical flesh and blood, it's only going to profit my physical body. It's not going to nourish my spiritual life. What we need is spiritual food for our spiritual lives. Not only is the Roman Catholic understanding of the Lord's Supper an abomination, reprehensible, and heretical, it entirely misses the point that our spiritual lives need spiritual food if we're going to be nourished in our spiritual lives. By the way, this whole understanding of grace, thinking of grace as if grace is in things, it's very similar to the idea we have today of common grace. According to the teaching of common grace, grace is in things. If God gives rain and God gives sunshine, if He gives these physical things, He's bestowing grace on the people who receive them. And that's really the same way of thinking as the Roman Catholic understanding of the Lord's Supper, as if grace is in things. And people can easily speak that way, as if blessings are in things. And if you have many things, then you have many blessings, and then you have much grace. But that's not it at all. You can have as many earthly things as what the Antichrist will one day have, and you can eat and stuff your bellies with as much physical bread at the Lord's Supper as you can possibly stomach. But that doesn't mean you're blessed of God or that God's grace is upon you. For all the bread you might eat at the Lord's Supper, you could still be dead in your sins and God's curse could still be upon you. This is not the way to understand things. Well, then what we must ask again is this. What is the way in which this spiritual nourishment is provided? How does Christ impart Himself to us at the Lord's Supper? And the answer is, not physically, but spiritually, through faith. Jesus Christ, who is your meat and drink, He is not present at the Lord's Supper physically in the bread and wine, but He is present spiritually. And we need to take Him to ourselves spiritually through faith. And He imparts Himself to us by His Holy Spirit through faith. As the Belgic Confession says so nicely, faith is the hand and mouth of the soul by which we take Jesus to ourselves. So Jesus is present in the Lord's Supper. He is present spiritually. He is present spiritually, first of all, as the one who calls us to His table. We are the guests, and Jesus is the host. He is the one who administers the Lord's Supper. He is the one who speaks at the Lord's Supper. That's something that's important for us to remember. When we have the Lord's Supper here in church, we ought not to be listening to the voice of the minister. We need to be listening to the voice of Jesus Christ. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. That's not me speaking. That's Jesus, the one administering the sacrament. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That's not me speaking. That's Jesus. And the reality is, unless Jesus is speaking those words to you, unless Jesus is speaking in the Lord's Supper, you don't have a sacrament. Just like we don't have preaching. If it's not Jesus speaking in the preaching, so we don't have the Lord's Supper if it's not Jesus who is speaking. If Jesus is not present in the Lord's Supper, we don't have a sacrament, and the Lord's Supper won't profit us. That's why when a woman administers baptism, we don't have a sacrament, because that's not Jesus who is speaking. That's just how it is. Jesus is present in the Lord's Supper as the host, and we are His guests. But then Jesus is also present spiritually in the Lord's Supper in this way. He imparts His own self to us. Spiritually, Jesus says, I give myself to you. And although it is very strong language, and this is sometimes where the confusion lies, Jesus says to us in the Lord's Supper, I give my body for you. I give my blood for you. Eat my body. Drink my blood. But he doesn't mean physically. He means spiritually, by faith, take who I am for you. And now, congregation, pay attention here, because I think this is very helpful for understanding everything. This is maybe the crux of the sermon this morning. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, I became flesh for you. I became blood for you. I was conceived of the Holy Spirit. I was born of the Virgin Mary. I became physical flesh and blood. I became a man for you. Jesus says, I became bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, exactly in order that I might purchase spiritual life for you through that very flesh and blood that I took to myself in the incarnation. And Jesus says, therefore, I had this same flesh and this same blood that I took to myself crucified on the cross. I had this flesh broken for you. I had this blood shed for you on the cross for your sins. That's why I became a man. That as one who is fully man and perfectly righteous and fully God, but as one who is fully man, I might earn your salvation and purchase spiritual life for you, that your sins might be forgiven, that you might be restored to that spiritual life. Because you needed someone who was flesh and blood. And I became a man and suffered that death of the cross for you. And now Jesus at the Lord's Supper says, take it. Take all of it. Take my body. Take my blood. Take my broken body. Take my shed blood. Take my life. Take my sacrifice on the cross. Take my atoning death. Take my resurrection life. Take all of me, all my benefits, because it was all for you. It is yours, because I am yours. All that I am is yours. And so Jesus even says now, eat it. Drink it. Eat my body. Drink my blood. Take it to yourself. Spiritually, do this. Take it into your innermost being, because all that I am is yours and you are mine. And for you to live, you need to partake of me. My righteousness, my wisdom, my holiness, my love, my whole life I give to you. This is why I became flesh and blood. Now be a partaker of it. You have been made a partaker. Now nourish on it. And now, congregation, this is how the sacrament works. Jesus uses the physical bread and the physical wine to direct your attention to this very reality. He uses that bread and that wine to direct your faith to Him. And so as you take that bread and wine to yourselves, and you eat that bread and you drink that wine and assimilate it to yourselves, as you're doing it, you need to be doing it by faith. That is, looking to Jesus the whole time and obeying Jesus when He says, take, eat. And Jesus then also, through faith, imparts Himself and His life and spiritual riches unto you and strengthens your faith. Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, is pleased to act this way. Jesus says, I will use the Lord's Supper that way. It's not as if there's anything superstitious here. Put away superstition. Jesus has simply given us His word. He says, this is what I will use for the strengthening of your faith. Just as I've set apart preaching as the chief means of grace, so I have also set apart the Lord's Supper as a means of grace for this same use. When you receive the sacraments in obedience and you look to me in faith, I will also use the Lord's Supper as a means of grace. Jesus says, through the sacraments, I will more fully declare unto you your salvation. I will more fully assure unto you that your sins are truly forgiven. You are an elect, redeemed, regenerated child of God. And I will strengthen you in that new man that you might continue to run your race in this life. saying that, let me also say this. The grace that Jesus imparts unto us through the Lord's Supper is not some special kind of grace that you don't receive through the other means of grace. Of course not. It's not as if there's a special grace that you can obtain through the sacrament of baptism, and that's a baptismal grace. And there's another kind of grace that you can receive at the Lord's Supper that's called a Lord's Supper grace. At heart, that way of thinking is Roman Catholic. The Lord's Supper doesn't give you anything different than what you can receive through the preaching. The Lord's Supper is just another means through which Jesus gives you the same thing, namely, Himself. So what is the way in which the spiritual nourishment is provided? Not through our physical mouths, but through faith. And that by the working of the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, we must also emphasize this at the same time. Jesus uses the bread, and He uses the wine, and the eating of the bread, and the drinking of the wine to enliven our faith, to grab the attention of our faith, and then to the more forcefully and vividly speak to us of what we have in Jesus Christ. Just as He uses the sound waves that go through this room this morning to work and strengthen faith in you. Not only does Jesus use the bread and wine and the eating of the bread and wine to strengthen faith, Jesus says, I will use it. You need to approach the Lord's Supper believing. You must not cleave with your heart to the external bread and wine, but as you eat the bread and wine, you need to be believing, looking to Jesus Christ, lifting your hearts on high to where Jesus is at God's right hand. And as you receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Jesus, Jesus says, I will also feed and refresh your souls through the working of my Holy Spirit with my own body and blood. I will use this sacrament and the bread and wine for that purpose. That's how the Lord's Supper is a means of grace. Well, all of this certainly impresses upon us the spiritual disposition that is required. Required when we come to the Lord's Supper, required when we come and sit under the preaching. That's why we prepare ourselves for the preaching. We prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper with a week of examination. The spiritual requirement that is required is, first of all, only those who are regenerated can benefit from the Lord's Supper. And also, only those who are exercising their faith can benefit at the Lord's Supper. Going through the motions will never profit. That's how we must come to the Lord's Supper. We must come to the Lord's Supper as those who want to grow in holiness, those who want to grow in wisdom, who want to grow in knowledge and love for God and love for each other. We must come to the Lord's Supper as those who want to grow in our faith, who want to live more faithfully as Christians, who want to put off that old man more and more and want to live out of the new man more and more. And then at the Lord's Supper, the Lord gives us these things. When you understand what the Lord's Supper is as a means of grace, and you see how in the Lord's Supper Jesus causes you to grow in Him and in His grace and in His virtues, and your faith is strengthened, then you also say, out of the new man, how can I possibly keep myself from the Lord's Supper? In one way or another, how can I keep myself from the Lord's Supper? How can I keep myself from the preaching? How can I possibly keep myself from the preaching? And how can I keep myself from the Lord's Supper? This is my delight. This is my life. To fellowship with Jesus at His table and to be a partaker of Jesus and of all His benefits. This is heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, We thank Thee for giving us the preaching and the sacraments as means of grace. Use them, we pray. Impart unto us, Jesus Christ, this morning through the preaching, that we might be refreshed, that we might have grown in knowledge, grown in wisdom, grown in grace, grown in love and mercy and joy and holiness and righteousness. Now, as we have fed on Jesus Christ, we pray that we might use the strength that is received to live more out of the new man. We thank Thee for this day of rest. Bless the preaching to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.